Time for Thinking Real Estate. Laura Dwyer Schletke, owner, operator, chief executive officer of Thinking Real Estate.
Yeah.
And her trusted partner, Bill Schletke, on the road somewhere, I think.
That's a affirmative. Yeah, I'm on the road. I'm going to pick up our old Kubota up in Standish, Michigan.
Very good.
And I'm online while we talk. I'm going to donate. Bill was talking about how bad he feels for the people who are out in the cold right now, and it looks like there's a Miramed, warm your holidays by warming someone else donation. Miramed, yeah, that's circle of warmth.
That's Tony Mira, who I saw this morning, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'm making a donation as we speak, and
others do the same. Very worthwhile cause. What's the website?
Oh, I don't know. I just got it from the chamber, so call the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, it's Miramed, and it's providing coats for homeless people. And he's been doing this for several years, and it's a worthwhile charity.
Yeah. So before we get talking about real estate, I would like to announce the winner of the Shop Small, the first drawing of Shop Small, Win Big. This is where if you shop at a small retail store within the city limits of Jackson, and small is equal to 25 employees or less, you can submit your receipt online at jacksonDDA.org. Again, that's jacksonDDA.org. Fill in your contact information, upload a picture of your receipt, and you can submit as many receipts as you have been shopping. And your name goes in to a drawing, and we're going to draw every Monday and announce it on this radio show. And we also will be announcing the same information on JTV. And this is all made possible because of the generous donations of CP Financial Credit Union, Consumers Energy, the Anchor Initiative, the Jackson DDA, Bloom, Thinking Real Estate, Experience Jackson, and the Chamber of Commerce.
Hey, what is Loom?
Loom is the newest company in Jackson, in the city limits. They're on Northwest Avenue, just next to Fazoli, and they are a retail store for marijuana.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep, didn't know that.
Yep, very nice facility.
Okay.
Anyhow, the winner, drum roll, is Kara Vitito. She bought something from Rustic Market. She has won $1,000, and she spent $23.85 at Rustic Market, so that's a pretty good rate of return.
Good deal.
What's her last name?
Vitito.
Why don't you spell it?
V-I-D-E-T-O, Kara Vitito.
Okay.
And she bought that item at Rustic Market on December 4th. She was out shopping on Friday. We had 203 entries this past week. And so the new start buying today through midnight of Sunday at the end of this week. And
yeah,
you
have to make it clear that you don't have to buy anything at Artitude. Simply, you present a receipt from any retail shop within the city, because it has nothing to do with Artitude itself. That's simply the organization that's awarding the $1,000. But you don't have to buy anything from Artitude.
I didn't mention Artitude. But anyhow, you have till midnight of Sunday next week, or this week. I don't know how you want to do your week. But anyhow, and good luck to, and get shopping. Shop small, win big. And thanks again to our sponsors, CP Federal Credit Union, Consumers Energy, Anchor Initiative, Loom, Jackson DDA, Thinking Real Estate, Experience Jackson, and the Chamber of Commerce. So, congratulations, Kara Vitito. All right. What's next?
You want to talk about quieting title was the subject you want, because we had started a little bit after I got done with my rant about not wearing masks. But before you do that, I got to tell you that
another rant. Let's talk about real estate.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a rant, but I just want to tell you I celebrated 48 years of being a lawyer on Saturday, December 5. I got licensed December 5, 1972. And I will tell you that I know a lot of really high-quality lawyers, but I was quite embarrassed by the performance of certain lawyers at a hearing in Michigan last week. So anyway, that's not the way most lawyers are. Most lawyers, in fact, are conscientious, reasonable, and anyway. All right, so what do you want to talk about? Quiet title? You want to finish off that or at least continue that conversation?
Yeah, well, it started because the city is starting to sell their vacant lots. Well, they've been being more aggressive about getting the property sold. And so, and I know that the county had their tax foreclosure. So between the two, most of the properties that the city has acquired are a result of tax foreclosures. So. Okay. I wanted to talk about why it's important to make sure the title's clean and what you might have to do if you find something on the title. Like, for example, we just sold, we've got a deal going on vacant land, and across the vacant land is a pipeline. And I asked you if it was something to be concerned about, since I did not know, and you said no.
I didn't say no. What I said was that the purchaser needs to verify where the location of the pipe. It's an oil and gas pipeline easement. They're usually written in a broad form, and then they're actually narrowed to whatever the area is where the pipeline actually gets installed once it's there. So the purchaser needs to verify where, and it's marked. The pipeline is marked. The entire route is marked so that they can use drones now to inspect the line. And so they just need to locate it, make sure it's not going to interfere with whatever plans they have in terms of improvements. I can't remember how big a plot of land is it that they're buying. How big is it, 10 acres, 20 acres?
I think it's 20.
It's what?
I think it's 20 acres.
Yeah, so, I mean, generally speaking, you know, as I was growing up, my parents owned 42 acres in Rochester, and while they were there, the pipeline company came in and got an easement, and so it was marked, but you just need to make sure as a purchaser that it's not going to interfere with any of your plans for development of the property, primarily building a structure on it.
So, on a foreclosed property, what are some of the things that you would be concerned about? If you were buying the lot from, we had a vacant parcel next to us, which we do not, and you wanted to buy it from the city or a tax foreclosure, what would you have, what should we be concerned about?
Yeah, as I mentioned last week or the week before, there are no more tax foreclosure sales. They're just sales of tax foreclosed properties in all but eight of the counties. Those sales are done by the county. In the other eight, they're done by the state. And at those sales, you are buying the property, you're bidding in, and the theory behind the change in the statute in 1999 was that the purchaser at these sales would get title free and clear. That has not been the case. So what I want to do is, if I bid in at that sale, I want to go to a title company here in Jackson. It's typically American or Midstate, and I have them do a title search. I want them to, even a pre-commitment, if they will issue it as opposed to search, in anticipation of me selling the property. Now, if you're going to keep an issue, that will just be a search. But if I'm going to resell it, I probably want a pre-commitment. I want the title company to tell me what it's going to require in order to be able to issue a title insurance policy to the buyer. And often what that's going to take is a quiet title action filed in the circuit court in Jackson, the Jackson County Circuit Court, naming anybody that shows up in the Register of Deeds as holding an interest in the property. I have to serve them with the summons and complaint. And then if they default, I'll take a default judgment. I wait 21 days, which is the appeal period. And then my quiet title judgment is perfected. If they actually appear and they raise some defense, then I'm going to have to address that particular defense. Because what happens is that you and I have personal experience with this on a large tract of land that we had out in Liberty Township, where the county had neglected. They got an out-of-town title company to do the title search for them, which is required by statute. They did the title search, and they missed our mortgage. And so,
hold on, it's required by statute that they get a title company or that they use an out-of-town one?
No, that they have to do, they have to get a title search. They have to commission a title search, they pay for a title search from a title company to verify everybody that shows up on the record as having an interest in the property. Typically the owner and then a mortgagee. There might be a construction lien or something else, but usually it's just the owner and then a mortgage. Well, in our case, they missed the mortgage. And this has happened in other cases as well. So, yeah, you need to verify. The best way to do it is through a title company. Before we end this, I did get an email blast from a lawyer in a group that I belong to that if Bob Newman or Ron Ellison are listening to this program, I'd like them to call me. It has to do with gap coverage. I'd like to get the answer on that. So, anyway, back to quiet title. So I go to circuit court. I get the quiet title judgment. As I say, if there's a default, I take my judgment. I have to wait 21 days because that's the period in which a defaulted party would have to file an appeal. No appeal, I quiet title. Now I have good title. The other thing that happens, and I did mention this last week, there's a case, Rafaeli, R-A-F-A-E-L-I, versus Oakland County, in which the Michigan Supreme Court said that if the bid by the successful purchaser at the sale of the tax foreclosed properties is more than what the county incurred in lost tax revenue, interest, the administrative fees, et cetera, in the foreclosure, that the county now has to pay that surplus over to the record owner. This is a huge, huge change in our tax sale foreclosure process.
Is there anything else they should be concerned about?
Well, you've got to remember the tax foreclosure typically would wipe out all prior liens. So the title search should reflect the fact that, yeah, there may have been a lien, but it's gone. It's been eradicated by virtue of the tax foreclosure. There may be some liens, and I'm not talking about IRS liens. IRS liens don't have any particularly greater priority than other liens. But you just want to verify what the condition of title is. You know, you can carry this forward, Laura, into just a normal. I have so many times where somebody comes to me after the fact, and there's some problem with the property, either reflected in the title commitment or something on the land, an adverse possession or an easement claim. They don't appreciate the fact that they need to review the title insurance policy. If you're a purchaser of a property in anywhere, and you get the title commitment, most title companies, when you look at Schedule B, Section 1, Section 1 or Section 2, it'll list the things that the title is subject to. But they won't give you copies of the documents. If there's a right-of-way in favor of consumers, if there's a joint driveway easement, they'll make reference to it in Schedule B, but they don't give you a copy of it. And most purchasers who don't have a lawyer representing them, or they don't have a buyer's agent representing them who knows enough to say, hey, you got to look and see exactly what this underlying document says, where this easement lies, how it affects you, et cetera. It could be a condominium. The review of the master deed and the bylaws and the rules and regulations. Absolutely essential that the purchaser get copies of all of the documents referenced in Schedule B and then take a look at them, read them carefully, make certain that there's nothing in there that is going to detrimentally affect your use, occupation, and improvement of the property. If there is, then you have to raise an objection to the title. Every purchase agreement, every well-written purchase agreement, gives the purchaser an opportunity to object to the condition of title. And if you don't, many of those purchase agreements say if you miss the deadline for objecting, you're taking that title exactly as it shows up in the title work. The other thing is, the law imposes a duty on the purchaser not only to review what's on the record at the Register of Deeds, it also imposes an obligation on anybody taking an interest in the property, whether it's purchase or a mortgage, to inspect the property to determine whether or not there's anything on the land, somebody using the property for some purpose, that doesn't show up in the record. It's not that simple that you simply show up at a closing, plunk your money down, get your mortgage, and walk away. Because there are some things that can happen after that closing that you didn't anticipate if you didn't spend the time to review it.
On a foreclosure, though, if it's a tax foreclosure, does that wipe out any – what liens does that wipe out? If there's a billboard on the property, does it wipe out the lease of the billboard? If there's debt owed to a municipality for cleanup or demo or whatever it might be, does it wipe that out?
Yeah, as long as the taxing authority has given notice to anybody holding an interest, which would be the leaseholder, the lessee, a mortgagee. That's the good example is just the property we had in Liberty Township. We owned a mortgage. It would have been wiped out if they'd given us notice and we hadn't taken steps to protect our interest. The steps you take to protect your interest, if you get notice, are pay the taxes. Now, since you have an interest in the property, you are the person to whom any redemption price should be paid. In other words, if you step up at the foreclosure sale, not at the sale of the tax foreclosed property, I'm saying as a holder of an interest. This is why, as a mortgagee, you pay a dollar to the Register of Deeds, and they will send you notice of the taxes, the copy of the tax bill, and notice of delinquency. You pay $1, and I think it's good for 3 years. Bob Newman or Ron Ellison would know off the top of their head. But they have to, even if you don't give them the dollar to get the notices, they still have to do the title search. They still have to give notice to everybody that holds an interest. That would include a billboard lessee.
Time, Laura.
It's time? Oh, time flies when we're having so much fun. All right. Well, before I go, I have a new listing at 540 Newell. It's a well-kept, beautiful little two-bedroom house, 747 square feet, something like that, with an oversized detached garage, a nice little backyard, just everything's been updated in the last 5 years. It's just a cream puff. That is listed at $119,900. Gosh, I would love to help anybody out there that's looking to buy or sell. And, of course, we have Artitude open, which has several. It's an artist market located in the Vermeulens building on Cortland, the old Vermeulens building on Cortland Street. And remember to shop small, win big. Our next drawing for $1,000. Any small retail store, which could be Hammond Hardware, Kassler Hardware, Niblo's Hardware, resale shop, anybody that's 25 employees or less that's retail in the city of Jackson. You can enter to win by going to jacksonvba.org, and you could be a winner just like Kara Vitito, who's $1,000 richer. If you're looking to buy or sell, I hope you're thinking real estate. Call Laura Schlecky, 780-3800.